Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
Look, Bumble knows you're exhausted by dating. All the, must not take yourself too seriously, and 6-1 since that matters, and what do I even say other than, hey? Well, that's why they're introducing an all-new Bumble, with exciting features to make compatibility easier, starting the chat better, and dating safer. They've changed, so you don't have to. Download the new Bumble now.
Trying to hear the song.
Something's bothering you,
yes.
I can tell.
Yes. It's been plaguing me for several hours now.
Oh, my.
I was tidying up this morning, right? Took the shower and everything. And I was too dang lazy to shave, right? Yep. I just didn't feel like slabbing her on and shaving. And I got to thinking, what the hell happened to the electric razor?
I just bought a new one.
You're kidding me.
No, isn't that funny?
What happened to it? I mean, it used to be the basis of sports advertising, right?
Right.
30 years ago, Norelco.
I need a close shave.
There wouldn't have been a Super Bowl if there wasn't Norelco fighting somebody else.
I know.
What happened to them?
I can answer that for you. It's very, very easy. Rook, I know you will corroborate this. It's because of the great success in the advertising campaign of Harry's razors on 1500.
This is pre-Harry's. It's been gone for 20 years.
Remember this one? Foam Edge.
Yeah.
There they take out the credit card.
Remember the Christmas commercials with Santa riding that, rocking that Norelco down the hill?
That's right. Yes. Dad, we haven't seen that for 20 years,
right? I was given, this is probably 3 years ago, an electric razor that you can use in the shower. You got to charge it. It's battery operated.
I ain't taking a chance on that, man.
No.
All right, man. Adding that to the list. Things Royce doesn't like.
Add me to that list.
No, but so you got one. What, for emergencies or what?
I cut myself so frequently that I thought, screw this. I'm just going to try an electric for a while and see how she works. But they're a pain in the ass because they're not as good as they used to be.
Yes. Yeah. You know, we used to fight about who had the floating top, you know.
Yep.
The floating heads.
The
I mean, Norelco had they have the floating heads. And then I got better. It's like razors now, like the, you know, the 14-blade blade.
Yes,
you know,
it would pull the whisker out more, and the second blade would come and clip it right out.
Yes.
Joe, now we have to ask Rook a question. And Rook, you have to be 100% honest, okay?
Yep.
The razor that you use in the shower, is that the same one the wife uses on her legs?
No, those are in separate.
Yes.
Those are in separate areas. She's upstairs, I'm downstairs.
Okay.
But
good question, though.
Who were Norelco's biggest rival? Remington, right? They were a big rival of Norelco, weren't they?
Sure. Who was Bob Kraft? Wasn't
that's how he made his money? He was Gillette.
Oh, Gillette. Okay. Yep.
Yeah, but those are just regular razors.
No,
I think
Remington had an electric, didn't they?
Yes.
They were kind of Norelco's big guy. I was kind of a Norelco man because they hooked me with the floating heads.
Floating heads, you got it.
And, you know, they felt like you were getting a massage with the floating heads. But
let me ask you something.
What happened to them? I don't get it.
What brought this about? Do you currently own one?
I wanted to have one right then so I could do the 20-second shave instead of have to, because I wanted to get rid of them. I don't like 2 days of two days of stubble, right? Yeah. But I was too lazy to shave this morning, and I said, why don't I have an electric razor? I could shave in the car. Yep. You know, can you plug it in and shave in the car?
The other brand you're looking for is Braun. Braun. I used to have a Braun shaver.
Yeah, I think they came around a little later. I think the big battle was Norelco and
Remington.
I was
never a fan, though. I just like the razor shave. I don't like the electric.
The first working electric razor invented in 1915 by German engineer Johann Brucker.
And then he invented Messerschmitts after that.
Yeah, right, right. Others followed suit, such as American manufacturer Colonel Jacob Schick, who patented their first electric razor in 1930.
Schick was the big rival.
Also, Patrick, you're right. The Remington Rand Corporation developed the electric razor further, first producing the electric razor in 1937. And then from then on, there was Braun, et cetera.
But Norelco, I think, ended up dominating the market. But Schick, I forgot about Schick. So it just bugged me that you used to always have one, right? I must have thrown them away 20. But I think 70s and at least through the 70s and into the 80s, I never even had blades.
Is that the sports writer in you, though? Because when you're at a hotel, you want to just quick get her done and get to the ballpark or whatever?
Well,
maybe.
I don't know. Okay. But I'm just wondering what happened to him. Because for 20 years, I shaved with an electric razor.
Okay.
And now I don't. And now I don't see any ads for him. Where the hell? Why don't they try to lure us back in here? What's going on?
We should.
Anyway. Well, there's all sorts of... I'm looking on, they have human hair classifications, head hairstyles that I've never, the Caesar cut, Jufro, Jerry curl, kiss curl.
What are you talking about?
I'm talking about, there's a list on Wikipedia on head hairstyles right beneath
I think we should go light on that second one that you mentioned here.
Let's tread lightly.
The ethnic slur there.
The standard cut, the tapered
cut. Let's talk about baseball.
Yes, okay. Anyway, well, baseball relied on Norelco ads and stuff
Barbasol is I think, they were a big Sunday Night Baseball because they would run ads on the old station.
That's cheap bulb, right?
Yeah.
It's kind of lower priced.
Right.
Yeah. So, anyway, that's
You panicked about your ball club or you just...
Yeah, I'm panicked. I think they stink.
All right.
Okay, looking around the field. Catching, terrible. First base. We all like Willie Astudillo as an extra player. He shouldn't be every day, so that was terrible. Second base, I don't know what's wrong with Polanco, but he not only is he not hitting, he's not fielding at second. Shortstop, Andrelton's back today, but...
Did Nick Gordon play at all?
Nope. Sent out. Andrelton is from a different planet. He's a great shortstop, but he's goofy.
Yep.
And Donaldson's okay. I mean, he's healthy, right? I don't know if he's healthy, but
I think he's better than okay. I think he's a hell of a third baseman.
Yeah, and he is, and he can hit. He's okay. Left field, the kid doesn't have a hit yet. I hope they don't panic and stop playing him.
Who's the kid?
Kirilloff.
Oh, Buxton, Buxton's their best player, and right field. Jake Cave's an Iron Man, even though he's hitting 102.
Where's Kepler?
Yeah,
He's COVID.
He should be back here shortly, right?
But
he was hitting 150 before he got COVID.
And Garlic are kind of on the same timeline, are they not?
Yeah, I don't know. But Cruz is fine. But that's not much of a lineup. And when you get dazzled by Trevor Cahill, who could hit you right in the forehead with an 88-mile-an-hour fastball and not hurt you, and then whoever, they called up some kid that dazzled him for four innings with mediocre stuff Sunday. They can't hit.
That game yesterday was painful to sit through. It was painful.
Friday night, though, Joe, 217.
Yep.
It was a miracle of our age.
That's right. We need is a guy to throw a no-hitter.
that's all
we need.
And she can move right along. And when you're not doing anything hitting-wise either, that helps a lot. So,
can you think of a worse April in your lifetime? This has been dreadful. Now, I don't mean the record of the Twins. I mean the weather.
Yeah, it turned. Easter weekend was out of this world, and we all thought, this is summer. Spring is here, and it's been terrible. And now they're heading to Cleveland, and the weather's got to be following them right in.
Oof. I looked. They're going to be okay. 55 and partly cloudy.
Okay. Wow. Yeah, it's been fairly miserable. But did you see Rocco's latest excuse?
Nope.
You missed this one.
Yep.
too many day games. Oh, the fellas haven't been able to sleep in. We're going to get some sleep. Okay. We're going to get some rest.
Oh, my God.
We're very happy to have night games. Got the boys off their feet so they could sleep in. Now, the one thing is, you know, going on the road for baseball teams and having night games wasn't necessarily a good thing for sleep. But now that they can't be, now that they're not supposed, you know, not supposed to leave the hotel, right. And they cannot have companions.
I see.
Does that happen on the road?
I'm unaware of it.
Occasionally in the past it happened, but right now they supposedly have to stay in their small groups.
You know, a thought occurred to me over the weekend. Do you know who they really miss, Pat? And you and I talked about this a couple weeks ago. They miss Eddie. They miss Juice.
Yes,
they have no Juice.
That's right.
They're
Eddie.
A boring, yes. Just. And I know he's not tearing, you know, the cover off the ball, but he brought energy every single time he was in the lineup.
What about Arise? Isn't he his fill-in?
Yeah, Arise is. He's been a good player. Yeah, and Arise. I keep forgetting him because he's not. He plays all over. But,
right.
But he's been good, and he's, you know, next to Buxton, has been their best player. But they still just, you know, I don't know. I can't believe the black hole that catching has become. I mean, Garver's terrible, and Jeffers is not ready to catch. The other thing, Joe, is we got the catcher down there. We got this newfangled thing with they're down on one knee, and they're kind of got the legs splayed out, and this is the new way of catching. Unfortunately, if the other team chooses to steal a base, Oakland, which never runs, had 8 stolen bases in that 3-game series, and you know, that's they spent so much time. Somebody told me that a local media member who shall go nameless in the electronic media was complaining bitterly about this off the air.
Okay,
and when he confronted somebody from the team about this, they said, well, we're not changing now because it would look bad, because they'd given them all this instruction as to how to do it right, and then it's when it starts backfiring, you know. I don't know. Here's a great one, Joe. Madison Bumgarner, you now have games that are official games that are 7 innings, right?
Right.
Doubleheaders.
They've been authorized at the highest level of MLB, as this is an official game.
Not to me.
Well, but it's an official game, right?
I know.
It's
in
the record.
Official no-hitter?
It's in the record books. They were trying to decide this during last night's game, whether it was an official. So apparently Manfred, with his 150 geniuses in his front office, when they approved the 7-inning game, never occurred to them that we have this rule now that the only official no-hitters are
nine innings.
But now that we have authorized dozens of these 7-inning games, maybe even hundreds before the year's over, and you could do no better than pitch a city. There's nothing that permits you to do better than pitch a 7-inning no-hitter in this game. Is it an official no-hitter? And the early reviews is it's not, but I got to think that's going to change.
Why don't you give Hop one then? What the hell?
Well, no.
He didn't give up the hit until the 8th.
No, but I mean, it's baseball's decision to authorize 7-inning games. That's a no-hitter. That should be a no-hitter, I think. So, because it's, you know.
I did love after the game, he walked up to a couple of guys, and I don't think that he knew who they were, because they were playing in Atlanta. And he walked up to a couple of guys that were wearing the Bumgarner jerseys and gave one of them the ball.
Yeah.
That ended the game.
Yeah.
I thought that was great.
Oh, he's a character. He's a Georgia guy, you know.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, but you ever hear his interviews? I mean, he sounds like he fell off the turnip truck, man. He's just a country
boy. Joe loves him because he bought the wife a cow.
Got the wife a cow.
I love that.
And it's the like wedding was, mats. And his wedding was, one day she said, are we ever going to get married here? And he says, well, we can do it today. And they went down to the
Justice
courthouse in their coveralls and got married, you know. So didn't spend a whole lot of money on the ceremony. So
I do have one of his interviews on file here, Madison Bumgarner.
As the official sponsor or the official vehicle of Major League Baseball, Chevrolet is proud to participate in this prestigious award. Along with our dealers, we are also extremely honored to give back to this sport by supporting baseball in cities and towns across this nation.
Okay, Rick, calm down.
At Chevrolet, we have also been proud of the latest and greatest technology in our truck lineup, which is the all-new 2015 Chevy Colorado. It combines class-winning and leading technology and stuff with Wi-Fi powered by OnStar, sitting there on screen, to recognize your performance in this 2014 World Series. I proudly present to you very own set of keys to a brand new 2015 Chevy Colorado. Thank you. Congratulations.
Thank you. Yeah.
Now he passes out.
Well, you know, that's when we should have known how much trouble baseball was in. It was the best they could do would be get some fleet manager from Northern California. The CEO wouldn't even show up to give out the MVP. They had they got some guy that they would, was scared.
It was Bumgarner who got the truck, right?
The two best reactions in that, because that's when they beat the Royals, right, in the World Series, when the Giants, so because it was 14. And the best was both Bud's reaction to who in the hell brought this guy?
What's going on?
But Aaron Andrews holding the microphone in front of, service manager Rick's face, and she's got the, oh God, please cut this off. Yeah. Like help that look man. To it. Yeah. Oh, that was so funny.
Oh God, it was great. But it did tell you that
they threw a blood pressure cuff on the guy. And dragged him out of it.
Oh yeah. Anyway, who cares about the Twins when the Cup Parade is finally coming to the Twin Cities?
Oh, boy. What a Cup Parade.
Seven in a row, 32 goals. They had one win was three, and two were five, and one was six, so the rest were four. And they score four a night minimum, usually five. And they've won seven in a row, and they have seven straight home games where they've lost, they had one stretch there where they had a 11, 12, 13 game home winning streak.
They were 13 out of 14. That one lost to, was it St. Louis? I think they lost at home. That was it.
Yeah, they've been great at home. Now they're great on the road. And St. Louis is here three in a row.
Right. Mm-hmm. The shame of it is, though, watch them end up having to play Colorado. The only team that they've had trouble with this year is Colorado. And that's probably who they're going to
have. Colorado, but they could. With as many home games as they have, they could pass them both.
What could they lock in? Home ice all the way?
Yes. If they end up winning the division, they'll be home ice. It's an odd division because you got three of the best teams in the league. You got three of the best teams in the league. You got a mediocre St. Louis team, and the other four stink, right? So, but they could, with this home, these next seven games, they could 10, 12 points, they could pass both of them, right? Mm-hmm. And why won't they? The goalies, they stumbled in.
Talbot's been really good.
The Finlander, they can break him out once or twice. And they're giving multi-year contracts to guys like Brian Hartman, who, when he showed up here, nobody even knew who he was, but he's played so well.
He's been brilliant.
Really good. And Victor Rask, we were so upset when they got Victor Rask he was the guy they got for Niederreiter, right?
I think so.
Mm-hmm. I was listening to Kurtze the other night. Victor was going down there for the faceoff. He won it. Victor was 6-for-6 on faceoffs.
Really?
And when you're in the playoffs and you're guarding a one-goal lead with 5 minutes to go, Joe, what do you want to do when you're down at your own end?
You want to win that
face-off. And we got the guy who can do that. Now, Koivu could do it to a degree, but Victor is it everybody badmouths Victor. He's a face-off machine, according to Kurtzy. So,
don't you think if they can let 10 in there, they can figure out how to put 15?
Yes.
When are they going to let 10 in?
They already. Oh, I'm sorry. Are they at 3 right now?
I think they're 35.
Oh, Twins are at 10.
Can't you figure out how to get 10?
I think they will here pretty soon. I don't know. Almighty.
You were mentioning listening to Kurtz. I did catch a little bit of the post game with Micheletti after I forget which Wild game. It wasn't recently. It was a while ago, and they were talking about success and does this team have a chance to make a run? And it was a weekend night, and one guy called in, and you could tell he was having a good time watching the Wild game. And he said, "Do you think there's a chance they'll sign Koivu back for the playoff run?"
God, I hope not.
Well, didn't he retire? Because he tried it with Columbus for a little bit, didn't he, this year?
He retired.
Yeah, he played 8 games.
And then said, I'll see you later.
Yeah, who's coaching him there? Is that Torts? No, I think Torts is gone.
I can't remember.
Yeah, he said, that's enough. I'm going back to Finland.
They were in Tampa yesterday and lost it. The Columbus club lost to the Tampa club.
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah, it's pretty amazing. I think, and I'll say one thing about Dean Evason. He's done a terrific job as a coach, apparently. But he and Rocco could have a face to face challenge on who's going to give you the most unusable quotes. I mean, Dean is not breaking her down for you. Boone's was a lot better in the quotes department than Dean is, but Dean must know what he's doing.
Torts must have something figured out, man.
Yeah.
Torts is still the coach at Columbus.
Oh, no wonder Koivu quit.
In fact, on January 1st of 2020, Tortella was fined $20,000 by the NHL for negative comments he made about the on-ice officials.
Oh, that would be a shock.
Whoops.
Still my favorite of all those build up to a single event things was when they build up to the Winter Classic with the Rangers and the Flyers, and the two coaches were Lavalette and Torts. Torts was with
Vancouver?
No, Torts knows it was the Rangers and the Flyers, and I think Torts was he
coaching? Oh, he was with the Rangers, yeah.
He was coaching the Rangers and Lavalette. And what it showed you, Joe, is slapshot from a language standpoint was a documentary.
Right, it was a documentary.
I have never heard language like that, even from myself. Yeah. You know, it was unbelievable.
They're the best, man. They can turn everything into. They got nouns and verbs and adjectives.
Hockey players, beer and foul mouths. It's great when they. It's amazing to me that the way we now monitor offensive language of, both a sexual and racial, that any of these guys ever get to play. Because, they have dropped the homosexual slur on occasion.
I got a good deal on those boys. The scout said they showed a lot of promise.
Boy, every piece of garbage that comes in the market, you got to buy it.
I'm trying to find the other one, Joe, that you would play on occasion. Mm-hmm. The box. Is it the box? Is that what we called it, Rook?
Well, you got to go and feel shame.
Penalty.
Slap
shot and caddy, the original Caddyshack and the Big Lebowski.
Might throw stripes in there.
But they all have this problem if you're clicking and you run across them.
Oh, you're stuck.
You got to watch for at least 20 minutes before you
can Major League.
Major League, the original. Yeah, there's about 7 or 8 of them that you can't leave immediately.
You go to the box, 2 minutes by yourself, and you feel shame, and then you get free.
And then you get free.
We were lamenting, in 2003 when they made the playoff run.
Yeah.
And how, when still with print edition, you're writing early columns and late columns and how much I wrote. I said, but the difference between now, I won't be involved in it, but the difference this time is you had Jacques to carry you through all of that stuff in 03 because everything he said was interesting, yes. You know. Mm-hmm. And unlike Dean, who's not gonna get you to the home stretch if you're writing a lot of stuff, you're gonna have to go to other sources. So,
well, he's one of the guys. He's one of the guys. One of the players on our team.
I wonder what the question was. I really would love to know what that question was.
Yeah, but I was the one I've repeated numerous times was when. One day he's refusing to tell us who the goalie was back then because we didn't know if it was Fernand, his nephew, and who was their other guy, Rollison? Did they?
Rolly. Rolly the goalie.
They were the goalies in all three that to him, and he never tell us who was going to play. And I said, "What's the deal?" I said, "They know when the game." I said, "Why do you guys hide this information?" And he said, why don't you give us more information, you know, in the morning at these things? And he said, information? I give you too much information.
Nope.
He was great, though, man. He was one of the guys.
Is he finally in retirement?
Yeah, I think he's a consultant with somebody.
Yeah, he was with somebody.
Montreal bring him back as a consultant or something. I don't know.
I can't remember.
Everybody I talked to about Brodeen, who was connected with Jacques, though, said he would have worshipped him. he would have worshipped Brodeen. And Wall says he would have never left the ice in a tight game because he could get the puck out of trouble.
Yes.
You know? So, anyway, but this is a pleasant surprise. This is one of the biggest ones we've had around here in a long time.
Well, because it seems like it's for real. It doesn't seem like they're just on a small five-game win streak, and then they go and lose seven.
Well, Yosi,
they got a guy.
Yeah, yes, they do have a guy, and that guy's getting better.
Yes.
He's getting better. I mean, he's you're right. You've said for years they need a guy. They got a guy.
Have a guy, and now they got
How many has he got? 20-some already, high 20s yet?
He's going to win every award a rookie can win.
Yeah, hell, he might be the MVP, whatever we call that.
Buxton? No, I'm kidding.
No, not Buxton.
You know, I was looking for the Jacques highlight, and I did find another one because you guys know what week it is, don't you? And it's a memorable moment, I guess, in the history of sports talk on 1500 when it was the weekday show.
Okay.
The week leading up to the NFL draft, when we got the phone call, do you remember that one? The guy that was calling from out of town that really wanted to know what the Vikes were going to do, so he came to the ESPN station to get that information.
Will?
Yes.
Go ahead.
I think we have to make a move right now to try to strike a deal with Cleveland for the 4th overall pick in the draft.
Why?
I think we have to take Khalil at 3 to shore up that line, to shore up the steps out of the line.
They're going
and then
to.
I think our main focus has to immediately shift to the defensive side of the ball. I think for too long we've been just, you know, scabbing up our secondary, not going out and making the correct moves at safety or cornerback. Mm-hmm. So I think right now is a very important period in which we can.
Why would Cleveland want to trade? Who are we going to give Cleveland for their 4th overall pick?
Well, I was thinking since we got the Childress tie already there, and he probably, you know, is more familiar with our roster than anybody else out there, he kind of has like a free pickings of what player he'd like to add to it. But what I was suggesting was we'd give our second-round pick, which is the 35th overall. Cleveland already has another first-round pick in the draft.
Yeah.
So they'll pick 22 overall. Now, if we give them our 35th overall, which is the second rounder, they also have a 37th already.
Joel, what's that got to do with
it? At the end of one going into two.
You haven't got to
throw in an additional.
Hey.
And a possible 3.
How about the 4th? How about the 4th? I still ask you the same question. Why are they going to give us their 4th pick?
Huh? Well, because I think it puts them in a better position, you know, being that they already have one first rounder this year, they'll already be set with 2 first rounders next year, and they can get somebody from our roster that Chili might be familiar with. might be familiar with and might contribute right away. Like, let's say maybe a Toby Gerhardt, being that they're last.
Okay, I can't take it anymore.
Yeah.
But Joe, yeah, I remember.
We must have told him goodbye or something.
Yeah, I think we did at some point. But Joe lost it at some point there because of he just went on. Yeah.
Well, he's like Warren.
Yeah, no kidding. But I don't remember why. I think you were probably waiting for... I don't know,
waiting for a comma?
Well, because I think, right. I do think, though, at some point you turned around and looked at me to see if I was calling from the other room.
Pulling a Billy Pierce.
Hey, Joe.
Yeah?
As a youth in Montemedi, was St. Jude by the Lake your church?
Yes.
I was there yesterday for a baptism.
Really?
Yes. My niece Molly had her first baby with Daniel Ordway, and we had the baptism. And I got to say...
Molly married an Ordway?
Yes, she did.
Well, you want to stay close to them.
Nice kid. Well, I got invited to the baptism, showed up with bells on my toes.
But
nice guy, by the way, and the whole crew, good folk.
Sure. Yeah.
But I could cut. We got there, and we went through the whole mass deal. We didn't just show up for the baptism afterwards, right?
Well, you know where your bread's buttered.
Remember where the baptism used to be in the mid-game, right? Didn't they sometimes have it in the middle of the game?
Because they'd renounce Satan and all that.
Yeah, but they'd do it in the middle of the mass.
Yeah.
And then, but now they do it after, at least they did it after. But I can cut.
He's a baptism expert.
Not the baptism. I can cut 7-8 minutes off time of game. Mass, you know, no problem. Too much marching around.
Yep.
Why aren't we ready to go?
Right.
Why does the guy who has the first reading, and you got the same guy doing the second reading, why does he have to walk back down to his pew, put his book away, and then go back down and sit there, and then 4 minutes later, he got to go through the whole process again.
This would be after the responsorial song.
Yes, you can just stand up there, off to the corner.
I'm off camera.
And hold the book with you.
Not like Donald Trump. Not like Donald Trump outside the church. No. You got to hold it a little bit better like you read it.
And you got the ribbon there.
Yes.
What the next reading is. Yes. And you just, you know, you right there, I got you 2 minutes, right?
Right.
Two and a half minutes right there.
You'd make a good reader, too. You should be a reader.
Yeah, fast.
Let's go.
And.
Peter said to fall.
And.
I can see her.
And the pregame song. They had a fine vocalist. The pregame song.
You weren't at a baseball game.
Yeah.
I mean.
But it was an 8-minuter.
Yeah.
You know,
all the while, this is all he can think about, whether putting the holy chrism oil on this child.
I'm not saying, no, this is not the baptism. This is the mass.
This is the mass, okay.
And the pregame, first of all, at St. Jude, they hide the vocalist behind the mat, down there, which is a bad idea. But I got to think it was seven, and it was one of those where you did some... hands up in the air and then it went on and on again.
Why are my hands
it could have been 3 minutes. I get you 5 minutes right there. I got you 4 minutes for the marching around.
Nine right there.
Why didn't you grab
and then the priest ends up with his sermon, right?
Yeah.
And then he sits down for like a minute.
That's his break. That's his 10-minute break.
Taking his break. Okay. Anyway, I got you 10 minutes right there. Yeah. Now, he just goes and does what's next. You don't have to sit down and contemplate.
Why didn't you grab one of those long baskets like your dad used to have? Yeah. You should have told everybody, hey, we're taking a vote. We're going to cut about 10 minutes off this. And
I tell you what, people don't get dolled up for mass like they used to.
No, they do
not. The guys with the church basket had jeans on and a shirt.
My family was, you can't wear jeans.
I didn't wear jeans to church yesterday.
Well, the Ordways are going to be there.
No.
we attended, I remember, an adult baptism as a kid. So it was obviously someone that had changed their religion or whatever. Right. And I would have been, I don't know, 12-ish at the time. And my little brother looked at my dad and he said, did he forget to take a bath today?
because it was weird. You know, normally when you're at a mass with baptism, it's a baby that you're, you know, that you're baptizing, not a 38-year-old that's changing the...
Well, for my baptism, my Uncle Gail and my Aunt Eleanor from Winona could not make the baptism. So my my Grandpa Red filled in for them. And when the priest said, you know, he's holding me, and the priest says, "What is your name?" And he says, "George Elmer Mack." He didn't quite know that he was supposed to say it's me getting baptized.
Our godparents could have done a little better. Because when they were, you know, "Do you renounce Satan?" They didn't figure out that they were talking to them, you know.
Right.
And
were you a godparent?
Oh, hell no. Oh. You know, I've only been a godparent once, and, you know.
They made a bad decision?
Well, she's a good kid, but I forget.
I chose to leave her alone.
You know, Katie's a godparent several times, and she still does the gifts for the birthdays and stuff that. I never did that.
It's funny you bring this up, because we have one this weekend. Jess and I are godparents for my nephew on her side of the family. So we have to, Pat, this is how much stuff we're taking for my wife's nephew, my godson. We're both driving vehicles because we're bringing that much stuff down for the baptism this weekend.
Well, one of the McElroy kids, Charlie, who's the next, Chaz and Patty be the grandparents. He just had communion, first communion, and I was talking to him. I said, "What'd you get? What happened? He said, "Well, you know," he started telling me about communion. I said, "No, what was the profit? How much money did you get?"
Talk to me about the loot.
He said, "The gift."
He said, "170." And I said, "You'll do better at confirmation. Hang in there till confirmation. Right. Then you can kind of, you know, you can forget it if you want to."
Right.
If you had toured the perimeter of the church, you would have found a stained glass window installed by my grandparents.
Really? Wow. Yeah. Oh, it's a nice little church. There's no doubt about it.
Oh, it's a quaint good little church.
Good location. And
Time of game, though, was your issue.
Well, I'm just saying, I think one reason they have problems is because of people want to get out within 50 minutes.
My guy at our place all the time, keep it fair. And he doesn't know what I'm talking about. And then I tap my watch and I say, "Come on, keep it fair.
Right. I will say the priest, well, 3-4 minutes is all the sermon was. So
his name. Was it...
New guy.
Ralph? Said, was it Ralph?
I don't know. He's a tall, lean guy, bald-headed.
I haven't been there in ages.
He baptized, he married the couple, and then he said this is the first baby from anybody he'd married, so he hadn't been there a long time.
Did they live out that way? Does Molly live out that way?
Yeah, they live on the lake.
Ordway's like it out there. Ordway's and the
we were at the wedding at John's place, which he's a really good guy. Yeah. But we went to John's place, but this is the original like home on the lake there. You obviously know where it is, Joe, right? Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And somebody said, "Boy, this is a wonderful location here," and blah blah blah. He says, "When you bought it from the Native Americans, you have a chance to get a pretty good location." When you were the first one out here, that's like saying George Washington, he had a good location there.
Right
on the river there, George got out. Boy, he and Martha were pretty damn good real estate.
They were savvy, weren't they?
Yes, they were. They really were good.
My in-laws, mixed parents, in the 80s, when the condos on the Optimus Beach were first built, a really nice place. They had a 2-level condo. And at one point... Pondy Ordway got in touch with my father-in-law and said, "I want to buy your place." And he said, "It's not for sale." And she said, "I'm writing out a check right now for whatever." And he said, "When do you want to move in?" And she never even lived there.
By the way, very impressed with the amount of water in the lake, Joe.
She's always high in the spring.
My goodness, it was high, and I didn't think we'd had that much rain. So
she's plump right now.
Yeah,
she's coming back.
Don't we write a story about that, where the health, or do we ignore that, Lake?
Oh, no, we'll cover that.
Okay. Late-breaking bulletin from Cleveland. Somebody sends to me, Dr. Rocco strikes again. Buxton held out with sore knee, and now the hitless rookie bats cleanup versus Cleveland.
I can't take it. His knee is sore. Oh, my God.
Yeah, I often don't blame the players, but...
The hitless rookie, who am I?
Kirloff.
Oh, sure, okay.
Mm-hmm. Go get him, fellas.
Well, the thing with Cleveland, though, if you can at least get to three runs, you might be okay. Because they have almost as hapless a lineup as we do.
Do the Whiteys have much of a club?
Whiteys have won five in a row, and they're going to win the division by 12 games. Yeah. Kansas City's better than people thought, though. They got a pretty good lineup.
Yeah, mm-hmm. And they've got some good young arms too. In their rotation.
Yeah, I'm looking at fourth place here, Joe.
Oof.
Ooh, man.
I don't know. It's not real good.
And we're back to only two wild card teams, right? Mm-hmm. This year. Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Yeah, okay.
The way God intended.
Will Dr. Rocco survive this?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, they won't. They won't admit that they...
Well, he's won two straight divisions,
One
Joe.
Last thing I want
to
say
he's
about...
He's a hard guy not to like, for God's sake. I mean, he's a decent human being.
One last...
But, you know...
Go ahead.
My knee hurts, Rock. Okay, you better take it.
Yeah, better take the day off. We go in and ask people before the game if they can want to play or not.
I love that you call him Dr. Baldelli.
So, I got one last thing from the baptism. Mm-hmm. Eric Ardway is the brother of the father, right? Mm-hmm. And I don't think Eric has been a regular attendee of...
Of mass.
Any religious, you know, he's a really nice guy, but I think he goes curling on Sunday mornings. He's like the head of the St. Paul Curling Club now.
I don't think the Ordways, I could be wrong, I don't think they're of the Holy Roman Church.
No, they are not. They are not. Yeah. But Eric got signed up as, so he was convinced by relatives that this meant that once this child reached age, that it was his duty to go to mass with him every Sunday morning or Saturday. They had him in a panic that he was going to have to give up curling and start going to mass with this young lady, I should mention.
Funny.
Wait, what
did I sign up for?
They were tormenting him with the idea that, those Sunday morning curling matches you like to have at the old curling club, you're going to have to give those up to go to
mass.
Oh,
that's pretty good.
Jude. So that was pretty good. That was pretty fun. So what do you think? Did we give them a good effort here today?
I think so, Patrick. Yes,
bring back electric shavers. Come on.
And let's take 10 minutes off those baptisms.
Yes, right.
We got to the bottom of it.
All right. See ya. Ricey here with Canopy Group Facts. Fact one, the Canopy Group writes more business in 1 month than a captive agent writes in 3 years. How is this possible? Let's share the other facts for you to understand. Fact two, the Canopy Group offers 16 different insurance companies, not just one. Fact three, the Canopy Group offers annual policies, not six-month policies, that leave you at risk for 2 premium increases per year. Fact four, the Canopy Group offers 1 deductible at claim time, not 2, 3, 4, or even more. Fact five, every year the Canopy Group will shop your home and auto insurance with their 16 companies. Captive insurance agencies can't shop that way for you because guess what? They only have one company to deal with. Now that you have the facts, it's time to get the options. Call 800-967-3389 or visit thecanopygroup.com.
This is Reavers once again for Mr. Money Talk, Josh Arnold. And Josh has a very basic question for you. Do you know what you own? You see, Mr. Money Talk's clients, and that's Josh Arnold, by the way, they always know what they own. He has found out that most people that he meets with every single day, they have no idea. Josh has seen retirement portfolios that have a big percentage in bonds, and there are real instances of people that are paying more in commissions and fees than they can possibly make on the rate of return that these bonds create. currently yield. Josh begs of you, know what you own. You see, trust is often overused, and it's even harder to find. Take it from me that you can trust Josh. Give him a call today for that free 48-minute financial consultation with absolutely zero obligation. Call him at 952-925-5608. Once again, that's 952-925-5608 for Mr. Money Talk, Josh Arnold.
At Eagle Fun Motorsports in Forest Lake, it's right downtown Forest Lake. You can't miss it. In fact, a lot of people who go to Grunhofer's drive north on 61 another 5 miles, and they're stopped right at the front door of Eagle Fun Motorsports. I got my Bentelli electric assist bike at Eagle Fun Motorsports. They have a full line of Yamaha motorcycle products, and they specialize in quality, affordable scooters, mopeds, youth ATVs, youth snowmobiles, all of the equipment and the service that you want. EcoFun sells Bentelli e-bikes. I got a bronze-colored one. I've been riding it. You can pedal it on your own or use the motor assist, or you can use the thumb control and cruise up to 20 miles an hour with no effort at all. Stop in, take a test ride. You are going to love these electric assist bikes. And at EcoFun, you'll discover there's no other store in Minnesota that offers an on-the-floor display of electric assist bikes that compares to what you will find at EcoFun. And at EcoFun, you're not paying the crazy prices they charge for e-bikes at the shops that exclusively sell bicycles. This is a store that sells fun. See it for yourself. Take that short drive to Forest Lake and check out EcoFun Motorsports or learn more at EcoFunMotorsports.com.
For a beautiful lawn all season long, spring to fall, log on to ProfessionalTurf.com. You do that, you're going to be able to schedule this free no-obligation estimate where a ProTurf Pro is going to walk your lawn and then design a 3-4 application treatment that they apply throughout the summer that gets rid of the weeds, keeps your yard thick and luscious, and it's that way until the snow flies again. Applications that are safe for you, the family, pets, the environment, those kids that always cross your yard that you're yelling at, it's even safe for them. All you have to do is water and mow, and I mean mow a lot. It really works. The GL staff is all signed up. 90% of you GLers are signed up. You should too. It's more popular than a COVID shot, and it's the best thing you could do for the health of your lawn. ProfessionalTurf.com.